C-81. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. At 8 a.m., Clark pressed the intercom button on the basement door to tell Dan that Emma was there to see him. Dan opened the door to find Clark in his police uniform and Emma dressed even more smartly than ever.
"I don't have long," Emma said, walking down the stairs. "I just wanted to see how you're doing and tell you that I'll be in the city all day. I've got to deal with some stupid campaign emergency. Not even my client. It's a favor to someone I owe more than a few."
"It's going to be a long day at the precinct, too," Clark said. "No one will shut up about Kerguelen from the minute I get there."
When Clark had started his new job, the presence of someone moderately famous had been a novelty for his colleagues. To his relief, that novelty had faded quickly enough. But now, just like general interest in everything else related to the messengers, Clark himself was going to be a focus of attention all over again in the aftermath of the Kerguelen bolide.
"So how are you doing?" Emma asked Dan.
She didn't sit down, clearly serious about not having much time.
"Have you been awake all night?"
Dan shook his head.
"I got like 3, maybe 3.5 hours of sleep," he said, speaking without irony, as though this was comfortably enough.
Emma then glanced up to the scrolling trend ticker, seeing a new and rapidly trending post from Billy Kendrick, which plainly stated his firm belief that the bolide was a deliberate sign from the messengers, and which ended with the upbeat sign-off, "It's a good time to be alive." She pointed up to the scrolling text.
"See? I'm willing to accept it was them. Okay, you felt it, I believe you. But look at that. Billy thinks it was a sign. Pretty much everyone does. If this was a message for you, like you think it is, why would it be so public? They could call you somewhere like before, or even if, for some totally unknown reason, they were determined to use a meteor to catch your attention, why wouldn't it be somewhere like Lolo? Somewhere that we know is relevant, but somewhere no one else cares about."
Dan pursed his lips and nodded slightly in recognition of what were undeniably fair and measured questions.
"She's right, man," Clark chimed in.
He too was nodding, taking another long look at Dan's in-depth Heilig research, at his many densely annotated maps, and at his large posters of the 3 already discovered plaques.
"And the aliens are on our side, so even if they did want to tell us something important and to do it specifically through you, why would it be so cryptic?"
Henry's voice played over the intercom before Dan had a chance to answer.
"Emma," he called.
Dan turned to face her.
"Are you getting a cab into the city?"
She shook her head.
Dan then held the intercom button to speak to Henry.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"Her phone is ringing," Henry replied.
As Dan and Clark both knew, an extremely small number of people were whitelisted to be allowed straight through on Emma's phone outside of business hours.
"Tara,"
Emma suddenly said, clicking her fingers as it hit her.
"She's due back in town tomorrow."
"Oh, goody,"
Clark said under his breath. Emma laughed, hearing Clark's words and wordlessly sharing his lack of enthusiasm.
"What's wrong with Tara?"
Dan asked. He had only met Emma's younger sister a few times, but she'd always seemed nice enough.
"Hurry up and pick up anyway, she might need something."
"She always does," Emma said. "That's the point."
Henry was holding out Emma's phone when she opened the door.
"It stopped," he said. "I didn't want to answer it."
Emma took it from his hand.
"Thanks. Did it say it was Tara?"
He shrugged.
"I didn't unclip the case."
After looking at the screen for several seconds, Emma handed her phone back to Henry and asked him to put it back on the coffee table.
"It's nothing important. Thanks again, though."
"Sure thing."
When Emma reclosed the basement door and turned around, Dan spoke first.
"You could at least call her back and say you can't talk right now. She'll be sitting somewhere wondering why you didn't take her call."
"Get your shoes,"
Emma said, pointing to the pair on Dan's floor.
"Clark, yours too, wherever they are. We're going to my place. My phone won't work down here, and we can't call him upstairs when your dad's there."
"Call who?"
Clark asked, this time beating Dan to the punch.
"Who's the him?"
"Starts with T,"
Emma said, turning back to the door.
"Rhymes with Nemo."